Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 14 to close at 26,064. S&P 500 Index up just a fraction at 2,897, good enough for a new record high. NASDAQ Composite up 12 at 8,030, a new record high as well for the NASDAQ. Russell 2000 small and mid-cap stocks up just a fraction at 1728. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 3 basis points at 2.88%. Oil down 34 cents at $68.53 per barrel. Gold down $10.30 at $1,201.50 per ounce. Taking a look at some economic news, consumer confidence in the U.S. climbed to an 18-year high in August. The Consumer Confidence Index jumped to 133.4 from a revised 127.9 in July. It's the highest level since October 2000, beats the previous post-recession peak of 130 in February, the only other period in which consumer confidence was higher, back during the dot-com boom, 1997 to 2000. The Present Situation Index, a measure of current conditions, climbed to 172.2 from 166.1, that's the highest level since 2000. Future Expectations Index advanced to 107.6 from 102.4. The S&P Case-Shiller National Index rose a seasonally adjusted 0.3% and was up 6.2% for the year in June. The 20-city index, taking a look at sales of existing homes, rose a seasonally adjusted 0.1% and up 6.3% compared to a year ago. Price growth is decelerating. Prices, however, are not declining. After years of Seattle charting the strongest price growth, Las Vegas led the way in June, followed by Seattle and then San Francisco. New York, which has been slammed by recent tax law changes, the only metro to chart a monthly decline. For the Phoenix market, June prices up 0.7%, and for the past 12 months through June, prices up 7.2%. The death toll in Puerto Rico from Hurricane Maria last year was nearly 3,000. That, according to a study commissioned by the island's governor that was released today. The report by researchers at George Washington University's Milken Institute School of Public Health estimated there were 2,975 excess deaths in Puerto Rico stemming from the hurricane from September 2017 through February 2018. The tally far surpasses the official fatality count of 64. Governor Ricardo Rosello's administration said it would await the results of the George Washington University study, which it commissioned in December, to update the official count. Rosello said at a news conference that he would sign an executive order updating the official death toll to 2,975, but with the caveat that the number was an estimate. He also said he took responsibility as the island's governor for mishandling the fatality count issue. In a pair of tweets, Trump said today that Google search results for news about him showed only fake news reporting and charged that the company is controlling what we can and cannot see. This is a very serious situation. Will be addressed. Trump did not specify how the administration would address the issue. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow said the White House was taking a look at regulating searches, but went no further. A Google spokeswoman said in an emailed statement that the company does not bias our results toward any political ideology. Trump expanded his attack to Twitter and Facebook, saying the companies are treading on very, very troubled territory, doubling down on charges they discriminate against conservatives. Primary polls are open today in Florida, Oklahoma, and Arizona, to a lesser extent. Voters faced problems at Phoenix area polling places, with several locations opening hours behind schedule this morning because voting machines had not been set up on time. The office of Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes said all polling sites were open by 11 a.m., 5 hours late. A contractor hired to set up voting machines did not send enough technicians to get them going on time. Fontes said his office quickly trained and deployed workers once it learned of the issue Monday afternoon. Dozens of people reportedly showing up to cast a ballot turned away. Fontes made no mention of the troubles during a Facebook Live video he recorded with a voter shortly before polling places opened at 6 a.m. He said in the video that voters could go to their usual polling places or to any of 40 voting centers that anyone can use regardless of where they live. Polls scheduled to close at 7 p.m. Money Radio will be broadcasting election updates and results starting at 8 p.m. this evening and continuing at the top and bottom of the hour until midnight. So, stay tuned. Now, while every race is important, the big races in Arizona are the U.S. Senate race, the governorship, and congressional districts 1 and 2. Senator Jeff Flake, of course, has announced his retirement, and a trio of Republicans are battling for the spot, while Representative Kyrsten Sinema appears to be a lock for the Democratic nomination. Sinema has represented a Phoenix-based congressional district since 2013. She faces Deidre Abood, a Phoenix lawyer and activist, making her first bid for office. Representative Martha McSally is so confident of her Republican primary chances that she's already airing ads geared toward the general election. The once Trump-skeptical congresswoman has convincingly recast herself as an ally of the president, dropped her support for a version of the DREAM Act, and benefited from a $4.1 million spending spree by an establishment-friendly super PAC. Her main competition is Kelly Ward, with former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio trailing in third place in what appears to be his final run at elected office. Polls give Sinema a small lead over McSally, a respectable advantage over Ward, and a dominating margin over Arpaio. Democrats have set up a PAC that spent almost $1.7 million trying to sabotage McSally in the primary, strongly suggesting that they fear her the most in a general election. Arizona's governor race gets a lot less ink, but the Republican Governors Association is worried enough that it's spent $9.2 million here already, almost all on ads attacking Democrat David Garcia. Garcia does comfortably lead State Senator Steve Farley in polls of the Democratic primary, but Farley has slightly outraised and outspent Garcia, so it's not a done deal yet. Garcia is a strong candidate for Democrats. His 2014 campaign for State Superintendent of Public Instruction was the closest any Arizona Democrat has gotten to winning statewide office since 2006. His background as an educator also contrasts favorably with Republican Governor Doug Ducey, who clashed with striking teachers staging high-profile protests in the Arizona Capitol earlier this year. Ducey himself faces a primary challenge from former Secretary of State Ken Bennett, whom he defeated in the Republican primary 4 years ago, but Bennett appears to be running a shoestring campaign this time around. Incumbent Republican Secretary of State Michelle Reagan has a well-funded primary challenger, Steve Gaynor. The two have clashed over, among other things, Reagan's decision to settle a lawsuit that alleged Arizona's two-track voter registration system unconstitutionally blocks tens of thousands of people from voting. Reagan has also faced criticism for delays in creating a website to track money in political campaigns and her office's failure to send publicity pamphlets to about 200,000 households in the May 2017 special election on Proposition 123. The primary winner will face Democratic lawmaker Katie Hobbs in the general election. The Secretary of State is first in line to become governor should something happen to the state's chief executive. Retired Air Force officer Wendy Rogers is verging on perennial candidate status at this point, but Her avowed loyalty to Trump seems to be keeping her in the Republican primary race for Arizona's Democrat-held 1st District. Her rivals are State Senator Steve Smith, who hails from the Freedom Caucus wing of the party, and farmer attorney Tiffany Shedd. In the Tucson-based 2nd District, an open GOP seat thanks to McSally's Senate run, the National Democratic Party is solidly behind Ann Kirkpatrick, who until 2017 was the U.S. representative from Arizona's 1st District. Kirkpatrick faces opposition from former State Representative Matt Hines, who is running as a full-throated progressive. Phoenix voters will also weigh in on a series of ballot measures that could change the way the city conducts its elections. There are 6 city propositions on the ballot. One measure would consolidate the city's elections with the county. Currently, Phoenix holds its regular elections in August of odd years, with a runoff in November if necessary. Prop 411 passes. The city will combine its elections with the county in November of even years, and city races will appear on the same ballot as state and federal races. In November, Arizona voters will consider a crowded ballot. How they vote on everything from school vouchers to tax hikes could reverberate nationwide, but it all starts with today's primary. Arizona's income taxes are low compared to most other states, and Arizona has only cut income taxes since the 1990s. Now there's a proposal on the ballot to change that, at least for some of the highest income earners. It's called the Invest in Education Act. While the proposal had been in the works for at least a year, it was announced during the Red for Ed teacher walkout. Supporters of the initiative say it would raise $690 million a year by increasing taxes on people who make more than $250,000 a year. Meanwhile, Prop 305 would kill the law expanding access to education savings accounts or school vouchers. And yesterday, a Maricopa County Superior Court judge ruled to allow a clean energy initiative to go on the November ballot. The Clean Energy for a Healthy Arizona measure, now called Prop 127, would require electric companies, such as APS and Tucson Electric Power, to get half their power from renewable sources like solar and wind by 2030. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 14 today to finish at 26,064. S&P 500 up just a fraction to finish at 2,897, but that was good enough for a record high. NASDAQ Composite up 12 at a record high, 8,030. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, eatthebankers.com, and election updates this evening starting at 8 p.m.